The title, as you can see in your order of service, is Choose Your Friends Wisely. That's the title, and that's also good advice. I read an article on the internet about choosing your friends, and the title of the article was Three Things to Remember When Choosing Friends, and it said the following: choose friends who exhibit good character, choose friends who are dependable, and choose friends who give wise counsel. Second to our parents, our friends are going to have the most influence over our lives. Those who spend time with us, they influence us. So this is either consciously or unconsciously. It's impossible for our friends not to influence us in some way. And therefore, it's important that we choose our friends wisely. Some of our young people are off to university soon. And some will be off in the next few years. It's going to kind of happen in the life of our church. They're with us, and then they go off to university. When you go, young people, when you go, it's very important to choose your friends wisely. Some of you may be in school at this time, and you've perhaps made unwise choices regarding friends. And maybe it's time, maybe even the Lord's laying on your heart tonight with a message like tonight, to choose different friends. Maybe you're starting high school and you've got a new start. Maybe a new year in school, it could mean new friends. I know of a boy in South Africa who started high school. And as he started high school, he got in with the wrong crowd. This is someone I was in school with. Now, these friends, they were smoking, they were drinking, they were watching things that they shouldn't watch. And this friend, this boy, his mum was a Christian, and his mum prayed about this, and the school year came to an end. And then for some reason, for those 6 weeks in the holiday break, he decided not to get in contact with those friends over the summer. And the new year started, and by the time after those 6 weeks had gone, everyone had moved on. The boy had made new friends. He also joined the Christian Union at school. It was that year he became a Christian. Maybe something like that needs to happen with some of you. The Bible has a lot to say about friendship. I'm sure you could agree with me as we look through the Bible that there's so much that it says about friendship. There were some who made very unwise choices when choosing friends. For example, there was Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Do you remember Rehoboam? And he was influenced by the advice of the young men that he had grown up with. He took over his father's kingdom, and the people came to Rehoboam, and they asked Rehoboam, please lighten our burden. Your father made us carry a heavy load, they said. Lighten our load and we will serve you. And Rehoboam, he first seeks counsel from the older men. He asks their advice. They say, speak good words to them, lighten their load, and they will serve you forever. But Rehoboam chooses instead to go with the advice of his friends, the ones that he had grown up with. They advised him to make the people's life more difficult. Say to them, these advisors said, say to them, my little finger, it's thicker than my father's thighs. My father disciplined you with whips, and well, I'm going to discipline you with scorpions. And this, following this terrible advice from these friends, it caused rebellion in the kingdom, which lasted for another 250 years until the destruction of Samaria and the exile of the northern tribes. It's important that we choose our friends wisely. You know, we read it in the book of Nehemiah about the negative influence that Sanballat and Tobiah had on one another. Sanballat and Tobiah, they're greatly enraged that the Jews are rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And so they begin to mock, they begin to jeer. Sanballat mocks with Tobiah standing by. He says, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive these heaps of stones? They're just heaps of stones. They've been burned with fire. And Tobiah, he picks up on what Sanballat is saying, and he makes his own jokes. He says, yes, what they are building, even if a fox goes on it, it's going to crumble down. You can see the negative effect that these two have on one another. It's really important to choose our friends wisely. The Bible has a lot to say about friendship. the Bible has a lot to say about wise choices regarding friends. Those are bad choices, but it also has a lot to say about wise choices. So we can think of Daniel and his friendship with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. There were others that Daniel could have chosen, others who were brought into the king's court, others who learned the language of the Babylonians and who fed from the king's table. But Daniel chose these guys. He chose Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He chose his friends wisely. And together, these friends, they decided that they weren't going to defile themselves at the king's table with the king's food or with the king's wine. And while others were gorging themselves on the king's meat and downing the wine, the king's wine, as they were doing this, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Daniel, they were eating the vegetables. And the Lord honored the stand that they made together. Later on in the book of Daniel, we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told, along with the whole of the land, to bow to the image of the king, which is on the plain of Dura. And when they heard the bagpipes and the zither and the whatever else and this thing and that thing, when they heard all this music playing, then they were to bow down in front of the image of the king, this great big image, which was very, very high. And everyone else is bowing down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they do not bow down. They have a positive influence on one another. And then because of this stand that they make, they are brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king is absolutely furious. And he orders them to be bound. And they're thrown into the fiery furnace. And they're thrown in together. And the Lord honors the stand that they have made. They chose their friends wisely. And the Bible has a lot to say about friendship. And the Bible has a lot to teach us about choosing friends. And that's what today's message is going to be about. So I know that this is a bit more practical, but that's what we're finding in Proverbs. There's a lot of practical application that it gives us for day-to-day life as the people of God who are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make wise decisions as the Spirit works on our hearts, as the Spirit uses our word. We need to make wise choices regarding friends. That's true for the young people. That's true for us at every stage of life. Our friends are going to influence us. So we're going to divide up this message into three sections. We're going to look firstly at the key verses. Then we're going to look at the kind of friends that we should avoid. And then we're going to look at the kind of company that we should keep. So firstly, we'll look at the key verses. And the key verses are verses 24 to 25 of chapter 22. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourselves in a snare. Now, these verses speak for themselves, don't they? They speak for themselves. And we find in these verses that there is a general relevance and there's also a specific relevance. Let's look at the specific relevance first. The specific relevance is spoken about in the verses in 24 and 25. Don't make friends with someone who is given to anger. Don't walk the path of life with someone who is wrathful. Don't hang out with someone who is quick-tempered. Reason? Why? Verse 25, lest you learn his ways. We become like those we spend the most time with. If you hang out with someone who is hot-tempered, chances are you are fast going to become hot-tempered. This is not the first proverb to warn us of this danger of being hot-tempered. If we go back to Proverbs 15 and verse 18, we read there that a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. But he who is slow to anger quiets contention. We need to be careful. We need to be wary of those who are quick to anger. The book of James tells us that Jesus wants us to be. What does Jesus want the people of God to be like? He wants us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So as a general rule, avoid those given to anger. Rather, we should spend time with those who love peace. You have those people, don't you? Those poor people. They always seem to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know those people that they're not particularly troublesome themselves, but they just hang out with the wrong people and find themselves in trouble. So here's Fred, and Fred's a pretty calm young guy, but he's got friends who are easily angered, and the friends get angry, and the friends do stupid things. But it's Fred who always gets into trouble. Maybe they pick a fight, and Fred is standing there in the background, but it's Fred who ends up getting the black eye. It's Fred who, as verse 25 says, gets entangled in a snare. Now, one of the regular bits of advice that I have to offer guys in prison on chaplaincy, when I go and do chaptaincy inductions, is I have to say to them, you know, especially if they're new Christians, soon, and maybe they're going to be released in some time. I say, look, read your Bible and keep your head down. You know, keep your head down. Just make sure you spend time with those that are not going to get you into too much trouble. Because those who are hot-tempered, those who are fury, they can lead you and influence you and get you into so much trouble. You can get caught in their snares and their traps. That's the specific relevance of the verses. But there's a general relevance. It's what it says there in verse 25. Speaking about friendship, but then it says, lest you learn his ways. We become like those we spend the most time with. That's why husbands and wives can finish each other's sentences. You know, that's happened. We begin to think and act and be like those we spend the most time with. And that's why children imitate their parents' mannerisms. And that's why younger siblings imitate their older siblings' behavior. You have to say to the seven-year-old, hey, look, you're not a teenager yet. You know, don't slam the door. Don't do what your brother's doing. Don't imitate their behavior. We become like those we spend the most time with. And so it says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, lest you learn his ways. Lest you learn his ways. That's the general application to friendship. Are my friends good for me? That's a question we're going to have to ask ourselves about our friends if we're going to take the word of God seriously. Are my friends good for me? And if my friends are not good for me and they're not good for my walk with Christ, then I better choose new friends. It's really that simple. But that's really difficult advice to follow. We've got to be asking ourselves questions like these. Will time with these particular friends, will I come away with it with a troubled conscience by the end? Will time with them help me to feel positive or negative about myself? Will time with these friends, will it lead me into temptation? Will time with these friends, will it lead me away from Christ? And so you find that your friends invite you out and, you know, a WhatsApp group is created. You know, those WhatsApp groups, and suddenly you got 17 messages flying through in 15 seconds about what you're going to do. Ping, 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 and it's going. Your friends are deciding to do this particular thing. You've got to ask yourself some questions. And they say you're going to go do this. You got to ask yourself these questions, and maybe you may, because if you answer yes to any of those questions, it's going to trouble my conscience, or it's going to lead me away from Christ or something like that, then you're going to have to refuse the invitation. And if they are good friends, they'll respect your decision. If they are not good friends, they'll probably give you a hard time, but maybe then it's time to choose new friends. Now, before moving on, just a point of clarity as we look at these key verses, I just want to tell you what I'm not saying here. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we only have Christian friends. I don't believe the verses are teaching that. I've had many friends over the years who weren't Christians, but who were a really positive influence on my life. But we've got to ask ourselves, you know, what's the atmosphere of influence as you are around these particular friends? Do my friends respect my faith? Are they willing to listen to me about the things that matter the most to me? If faith really matters to you, then your friends are going to pick up on that. And if your friends are real friends, then they're going to want to listen to you about matters of faith because it's important to you. And friends are concerned about the things that are important to you. Real friendship is about mutual influence. mutually. So Christians should have good influence over their friends. You know, what the Bible says about being separate from the world, and we see that many times, it also needs to be balanced about what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount when he said that you are the salt of the earth. We need to be on the earth for purity's sake, for the preservation and the health of society and the spiritual health of society. You are the salt of the earth. And it also needs to be balanced with what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. A city is set on the hill and the light shines in the darkness. And so we need to be in places of influence. So that's the first heading, which is the key verses. Now I want us to look at the second heading, which is the kind of friends that we should avoid. Verses 26 to 28 go on to tell us these kind of friends. Let's look at each of them in turn. Verse 26, it says that we should not learn the ways of those who give pledges and who put up security for debt. So it says, verse 26, be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. This is talking about someone who makes bad deals. So this person puts up a security for a debt, but then as verse 27 says, if you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? And this bed is most likely speaking about the poor man's cloak, which he slept on at night if he had nothing else to sleep on. And Deuteronomy 24, the law of God, it explains that a creditor should not sleep on a poor man's pledge. A creditor should not sleep on a man's cloak. Rather, he should return the man's cloak, the poor man's cloak, before nightfall, so that the man will then have something to sleep on, even if it has been a pledge in a debt. But this poor man, he's made such foolish decisions that he's even lost his cloak. His creditor cannot trust him. He's not even willing to give him back his cloak. And so what we're learning about here is someone who makes foolish and rash decisions, especially someone who makes foolish and rash financial decisions. In 1894, the novelist Mark Twain had to file for bankruptcy. And there were many reasons for this, but one of the reasons was that he had invested in what was called the Page Typesetter, which was a machine which was supposedly going to revolutionize the printing industry. And over the course of 14 years, he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on the invention, hoping to reap millions in return. The machine proved a failure during its first test, and he lost all his money. He got into bad deals. It caused him all sorts of trouble. He listened to the wrong people. I think we could apply what is said here to those who are addicted to gambling. They want to be friends, and they want to be your friends, but what they want more is your money. And they say, look, I've got a sure thing here. Just lend me £100, and I'll bet the £100, and we'll win back tens of thousands, and we can share it all 50-50. This could be applied to those who have other addictions and need cash to feed their addictions. Choose your friends wisely. It's good for Christians to be able to advise those who make foolish decisions, but if you find yourselves influenced by them, if you find yourselves drawn into their schemes, unable to resist their appeals to lend you money, then avoid them. It might be time to choose new friends. Another sort of friend that we should avoid is spoken about in verse 28. It says, do not move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set. What's this ancient landmark? Well, according to Deuteronomy 19, the landmark was what Joshua had set out for the people when the people had gone into the land of Canaan, and when they had taken the land and they'd drawn out the borders of the land and set the land to specific tribes and then to specific people. So Deuteronomy 19 says, you shall not move your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in the inheritance that you will hold in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Those who moved an ancient landmark, the one that Joshua had set up, well, they were robbing people. They were robbing people of their property. They were robbing people of their ancestral heritage. This is what Ahab did when he took over Naboth's vineyard. He robbed the man of his life, he robbed the man of his property, and he robbed Naboth of his family's inheritance. And so what we're learning about here in verse 28 is someone who has no concern for justice. We're learning here about someone who is quite happy to rob the poor so that he can get rich. As we saw a couple of weeks ago in verse 22, it says that do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gates. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. It's warning us about being friends with those who have no concern for justice. It's warning us of the danger of that. Only this last week, I was reading about Frankish landowners during the turn of the first millennium. And these Frankish landowners, they would set up castles on high hills, and they would employ knights. Now, you think of knights and you think of someone there who's going to protect you. But actually, these knights were really enforcers for the landowners. You see, the peasants, they had been living off the land. And then if a crop failed any particular year, they would go off into the land and they would hunt and they would get the food that they needed. But the landowners didn't like this. So they used the knights to gather taxes and then to stop the people hunting on their land. And so they weren't able to feed their families during times of famine. We must avoid those who have no concern this justice. Also, I've been reading this last week. I've been reading the book of Micah, and I was struck in the book of Micah about the Lord's love of justice. Our God is a God of justice. And because he loves justice, then we should love justice and we should be concerned about justice. Micah 2 verse 7 says, do not words do good to him who walks uprightly? Micah 3 verse 8 says, I am filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might. And Micah 6 verse 8, the Lord says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? If our God, he is a God of justice, then why would we want to have those who love injustice? Why would we want them to have an influence over us? Christians, to influence those who love justice, we may want to spend time. We want to be with people. But if we find ourselves overly influenced by them, unable to resist their appeals, then it may be time for us to choose new friends. You know, we need to look at the example of our Lord's life. He is the one who had the greater influence. He is the one who sought to influence others, but he was not the one who was influenced and drawn astray by others. And so we come finally to our final heading, which is the kind of company that we should keep. So we've seen the key verses, and we've seen the kind of friends that we should avoid. And we look thirdly at the kind of company that we should keep. Verse 29, it tells us of the friends we should choose. It says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. It's really telling us, mind your own business, this verse seems to say. Avoid getting sucked into get rich quick schemes. Don't cheat the poor. Steer clear of bad company. And really, it seems to be saying to us, find someone to admire. See what they're like. See how they work. See how they live. And then aim to be like them. Do you see a man, it says, who is skillful in this work? This verse, like the earlier verse, it has immediate relevance. And it also has general relevance for us. So the immediate relevance is for us to choose friends who work hard, choosing friends who do things well, choosing friends who are not idle. The Apostle Paul, he says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, he says, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and is not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. the tradition that Paul is speaking about here, at the very least, is talking about how Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, when they were among the Thessalonians, they left a legacy of hard work. He says that the Thessalonians, they know that these men, they were not idle, and that the Thessalonians ought to imitate them. They were not a burden to anyone. They were not busybodies, but they were busy at work. If anyone does not work, Paul says, let him not eat. Do your work quietly. Earn your own living, he says. So let's choose friends who work hard. Let's choose friends that we can imitate. Let's choose friends who do their job well. Let's choose friends in school who are working hard, who can influence us. With what the apostle Paul says here in mind, we really need to take into account the importance of having Christian friends. We need Christian friends. We need the people of God. We need those who are zealous for the things of God. We need those who will keep us zealous for the things of God. This morning, you may remember, I said I was using an illustration, which I intended to use this evening. I'll just use it again for the sake of clarity in the message. But you think of a coal fire, and the coals are on the fire, and the fire is burning, and it's very warm. And if you take one of those coals off the fire, well, it begins to cool down. Well, how do you get it warm again? You put it back on the fire, and so the heat begins to gather, and so the zeal begins to grow for the Christian. When the Christian is in company of other Christians, and they have influence, and they rub off on one another. So are you growing cool? Maybe it's time to choose new friends. The general relevance, we notice, is the honor promised to those who choose the right friends. It says in verse 29, he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Those who work hard, the verse is saying, you'll have the king as your employer. Those who work hard, you'll be thought well of by others. One advances in life, as one writer says, by competence and integrity, not by cunning and careerism. Applying this more generally in the context of the passage and of this message, those who are influenced by the right people will be honored as a general rule. Remember, Proverbs speaks about general rules. As a general rule, things will go well for them. And so we see here again the value of the church. Without the church, there is dishonor. We are fallen creatures. We have disordered desires. And we really need to learn to desire what truly matters. And as we are going about our lives day by day, and as we go through the week, so we find our disordered desires are easily tempted. They are easily led astray, and we too easily begin to love the things that really do not matter as much as they seem to matter to us at that particular time. And so therefore, we need to often be among the people of God, those who are going to help us focus our soul on God. And there is no better place for that than the church, the household of God, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to be with our family at our family meals. You know, if the kids are out, you say, well, we're eating at this time. Make sure you're back. Come back at this bit of time. We're as a family. That is family time. And so we need to be with our family at our family meals as we gather together, as we seek the Lord, as we hear the word of God, as we feed upon the word of God. We encourage each other on our march, on our pilgrimage towards Zion. It's not something that we force upon one another. It's something that we desire. And if we do not desire this, it could be for many reasons, but one of the reasons may be because of the influence of the company that we keep. So in summary, we've seen the key verses. We've seen the kind of friends to avoid. We've seen the kind of company to keep. And in conclusion, I want to finish by speaking about the most important friend that we should have, the most important friend that we could ever have. Jesus said these words to his disciples in John 15 and verse 13. You remember what he says? He says, a greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, now you are my friends if you do what I command you. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I heard from my Father, I make known to you. In the Old Testament, we read of Abraham being called the friend of God, and by implication, we read of Moses being called the friend of God. Those are the ones, the only ones who are called the friend of God. But here Jesus says to his disciples, you are my friends. Jesus says to us, to his people, he says, you are my friends. As one author says, this implies a stunning level of comfortable personal interaction with the one who is also the eternal, omnipotent creator of the universe. It's absolutely startling, incredible that Jesus would say to us, to his people, you are my friends. The Lord Jesus calls us his friends, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, tells us at least two things about the kind of friend he is. And firstly, he says that he is a friend who laid down his life for us. God entered into a covenant of grace to deliver God's people out of that miserable estate of sinfulness and of misery. And he brought us into an estate of salvation by a redeemer. And Christ is that redeemer. The eternal Son of God became man, and he laid down his life for us. Greater love has no one than this, that one will lay down his life for his friends. And the second thing that Jesus tells us is that he is the kind of friend who not only influences us, but the kind of friend who has the power to change us. You see, he says we are to do what he commands. That's what he says. You are my friends. But you are my friends if you do what I command. We are his friends. He gives us the power to obey his commands. He gives us the power to do what pleases God. And so what we find is that those who are friends with Christ, those who are united to Jesus Christ, they are transformed by him. And his Spirit lives in us. And the more we spend time with this friend, the more that we listen to his words, the more that we are changed. He is the best of friends. He is the best of friends. And it is Christ who invites you into his circle. He invites you into his fellowship. He invites you to be his friend, he says. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. Have you turned to Christ? In all this talk about friendship, do you have a friend like Christ? Our friends are going to let us down. Our friends are going to do sometimes the things that are wrong for us, but Christ is never going to let us down. And Christ is always going to lead us in the ways of righteousness, in the ways which are pleasing to God and which are good for us. Have you this friend? Have you trusted in Christ? Have you turned to Christ? If not, then do that this evening. Come to Christ. Come to the one who invites you to himself. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we confess our sins to you. You have told us clearly in your word, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Forgive us for seeking that which does not please you, and convict our hearts to do only that which is pleasing in your sight. And where there are those among us who have made wrong choices regarding friends and who are having negative influence, we do pray for you to convict their hearts. We also pray that you would give us a great positive and gospel and godly influence on those who are our friends who do not know you. We pray for the love of Christ to flow through us and to enter the hearts of many. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.